Hello and welcome to Life in Hex, episode 19. I'm Gelada.
I'm Saffron.
And should we open our beers?
I think we should open our beers.
So should we move straight on to our housekeeping?
I don't see why not.
Okay. The first housekeeping is that our scheduling kind of sucks.
Our scheduling
is the crappiest scheduling you've ever seen, you've ever scheduled, because our next show will now actually be on the 29th.
And guess what?
What?
29th is how long away?
Possibly a month. Yeah. So we had the LAN, which is why we missed the show that we've just missed.
Yeah.
And so I'm now going away on holiday in the caravan. And so because of that, we're missing a show.
Yes, because, well, you can't really have a show without half the presenters.
Yeah. So the next show will be on the 29th. You know, we're very sorry. We apologise. You know, our scheduling sucks.
It does.
And we're going to work on it for the next, you know, the next set of sort of shows, because we're coming up for a year now.
We're not far off. We're only a couple of months.
Considering we're missing a show, it's only going to be like two, three more shows. Yeah, about three more shows, four more shows.
Yeah.
Before we reach a year. We started on the 18th of October or something like that last year.
Because that's when the RSS feed started, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. What we'll probably do on that episode, on the episode where we've hit a year or as close as we can get, we'll do a sort of a recap. You know, maybe release a little special of some sort. We'll think of something.
We'll think of something ingenious.
Cool,
something little.
You know, maybe
special.
Maybe do something where we involve the community. You know, get some people on IRC. You know, and like, you know,
they could ask us questions. Maybe we answer about,
you know,
it. I mean,
so that'd be Moonlit and Stingray.
Of course, I'm throwing.
But, you know, so and that kind of nicely rolls us in to the fact that we can now officially announce, because we announced it at the LAN special, but many people probably tuned into,
yeah, because that wasn't on the RSS feed. It wasn't on a DDP.
And it's crap. And people listen to it for laughs, essentially, because people do like them. You know, like the Shamus was saying, and Moonlit was saying, Stingray was saying, you know, they're really funny. They're just good to listen to, like, 10-minute laugh, just us, like, larking about.
It's not a serious show, no. You know. You don't tune in to listen to us talk about interesting stuff, which we do on every show. Well, we try to, at least, anyway.
Yep. We try to keep the content fresh.
You know, but they're just laughs that we do during the LAN. Mm. You know, just have them.
So, we can now officially say we have an IRC channel, which is, the server is irc.hack5.org. We're on Hack5. I asked Darren, it was very nice of him. He was, like... Dude,
when you told me, I was like really surprised. You just said you don't even have to ask.
Yeah,
just do it.
Because we're like in the whole IPTV. I know we're not TV, but you know, the whole independent media stuff. You know, it's like, he was like, yeah, dude, just go for it. Just set it up. And I was like, wow, that's cool. So like, we got an IRC channel. It's really great. It's used more than I thought it would be, actually. Mm. You know, I really thought it would just stay empty. But you know, Moonlit goes on there. Stingray goes on there. We have people on there. We've had Ivory Bishop. And, you know, people like that, you've been on there, Prone's been on there,
maybe
been on there.
Once, I think you've been on there once.
You went on there once, yeah. You need to come on there a bit more. So, you know, we mentioned it at the LAN, which was really cool. I mean, you know, did you enjoy the LAN?
No, I thought it sucked.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't, you know, it was
crap.
It was crap. It's crappy crap.
Full of crappy crap with a lot of, noobs. You know, shitty shit and noobs, and it was just boring.
No, it was a good laugh.
It was a good laugh. I really enjoyed the LAN. I think it was probably the best so far.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Again, sorry there was no show, you know, a fortnight ago, because we had the LAN. And it was decided by our listeners, you know, we did put it to the forum, because we would have done it. We could have done it.
We made a sticky on the forum about it.
Yeah, because we could have done it. You know, it would have been a push, and I'm glad we didn't, but we could have done
been
it.
Good, it wouldn't have been a good show. I mean,
so we put it to our listeners, and they said, nah, that's fine, you know, enjoy your LAN, blah, blah, blah. So, like, thanks.
And we did enjoy it.
We did enjoy the
LAN,
yeah.
It was worth missing the show, I think.
It was, yeah.
And you got some good pictures out of it. You got to see us out of it.
Yeah, because we put the pictures up there. So, you know, that's the compromise. We do have a couple of emails. One of them we mentioned in the tech section, but one of them was from my clan leader, DeFay. And he said, hello, Life in Hex hosts.
So he doesn't put Gelada and Saffron, even though he knows
he put Gelada and didn't put Saffron, so that's why I put Life in Hex. See, now you just dug your own grave, and I'm not going to cut that bit. he said, please do a small part on Dare, the clan, and stop talking about anime. More tech if necessary. He's only listened to episode 17, and MixWizard linked him. If you listen to episode 17...
DeFay, I used to respect you. I used to think you were cool. I mean, you're a good gamer, and you're, like, you know, really good and everything. But well, now you just diss me all over. You first addressed the email to Gelada only, okay? Fair enough, I'm not in the clan yet. But you know me. You've spoken to me on, like, TeamSpeak. You've played against me on CSS.
Fair, you've made an enemy.
I'm going to kill you in every game. I'm going to team kill you every time we play on a clan server from now on.
Nice. But if, dude, if you listen to episode 17, episode 17 was like, which one was that? That was Proen's podcast.
And Proen is like our anime man.
Yeah, so,
our third anime. All the guests we had on our anime.
Yeah, wait until we get Moonlit on. So yeah, if you listen to episode 17, that's kind of like anime heavy. So, you know,
we did an anime extra for crying out loud.
But I think he listened to a few more shows as well. He's listened to some more now, and I know he likes it, so it's very cool. He's in France.
Why don't you check out episode, what was it, 9 or 10, where we did our talk on DDS?
Yeah, DDoS. That would be a cool episode.
That was episode 7, that's it.
Yeah. Okay, so now moving on to our live section. We've just got a couple of things here. I'd like to mention that I visited Tezartus, who I've mentioned earlier, and a big shout out to him and his girlfriend, who was staying over. I will upload a picture of my computer corner because he's got quite a small room and he's got a computer in one corner on a desk and then he's got a bed and then a little gap and then his wardrobe, which is on the wall, which is like, you know, into the wall.
Built into the wall.
Walk-in wardrobe type thing. You could actually sleep in wardrobe because it's actually got like pillows and stuff in it. You could actually like get in the bottom and sleep
in it. I'd probably feel a little bit claustrophobic.
Well, no, it's quite deep. It's like, you know, that sort of depth. So you could actually sleep in it. It's got room and sleeping bag and everything. And he had a little chest of drawers at the bottom of his bed. And Higara just perfectly fit down the side. My monitor perfectly fit on the top of my keyboard. And I just sat there cross-legged on top of my sleeping bag. Keyboard on my lap. And just big mouse mat on the bed, flattening the bed.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
Reminds me of episode 11 of
Pure Onage. Yeah.
He's just sitting there.
And he's sitting there on a cold, yeah. And I just sat there, and I just smiled at him, and I'm like, I'm done. I'm not going anywhere. I'm sitting here.
And I just
stayed there. Anyway, big shout out to him. We had played lots of games, GameCube games. I'm now going to have to start getting proficient at gaming, which I mentioned later. Gaming? Proficient at console gaming, which I'll have to mention later. But yeah, it was really good fun, and I'm going to go back there. Anyway, yeah, so big shout out to them. I'll make Tezartus listen to this show so that he hears this. So hi, Tezartus.
Yo.
Yo.
We should do Quasar again together.
We should. Yeah, that was really cool.
Maybe we could organise it sometime this summer.
Life in Hex Quasar.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
Life in Hex v. the rest.
That would be awesome. But that's just me and you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Technically, that's just me and you versus
technically,
everyone.
Technically, friends of Life in Hex v. the rest.
The Life in Hex crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got a bit of life?
Yes. It's not amazing, but it's cool because I'm finally getting my new rig sorted.
Yep.
So that's all good.
You mentioned a couple of shows ago that you got your job at Tesco's.
I got my new job at Tesco's.
And so this is
so I'm getting
this is
some money
coming
from
to
it.
Fruition. So you're getting your new rig and you're waiting for the Conroes.
I'm waiting for the new Intel Conroes which are coming out.
Which are the
couple
Intel
of weeks, hopefully.
Core Duo2s. Yeah, they said pre-order August. So
soon?
Yeah, pretty soon they'll be coming out. And then you'll be getting that and it'll all be fine and dandy.
It'll be good because I'll be able to play games.
Yep.
Instead of
and then you'll have to spend money on all the games. But yeah, we'll take some pictures because it's going to look pretty cool. And also put all the spec and stuff on the forum. So
yeah, I'll put the specs on the forum so you guys can discuss
and
what
you think. I'd say that what we should do is we should put the price up of how much it costs from overclockers. And then also do some benchmarks when it's all set up so that we can actually put that on Life in Hex and then say, like, you know, what you might change about this if you wanted a slightly cheaper one because obviously it's expensive.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted cheaper, you might not buy the sound card that I'm
going
for.
Exactly. So it'd be interesting to do a benchmark, put that there, and then that can be sort of like a guide for people who are wanting to create a killer gaming rig.
Maybe we could maybe go like what some like Stream Tech do, you know, and give examples of the price. I mean, you put that computer together for your grandparents.
Productivity rig.
Exactly. It's just for
office and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's for really big stuff. And you made it for, what, £300, wasn't it?
£306.
So we could go from that, or you could go from spending £1,500 on a killer gaming rig.
Exactly. So that would be really interesting. I think we should do that. That'd be a good thing to do, especially as we're missing out on some shows. We really need to do some community stuff.
Stuff on the forums and on the IRC and what we didn't say. We haven't touched that for a while.
Yeah. Well, if you go on the forum, I've got a thing about that, about moving that to the forum and stuff. You have to have a look at that later.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, moving on to some gaming. As we said, quick life section. Makes up for the long housekeeping.
Gaming's not that long either, really.
No, it's only just a couple of things. I mentioned a few shows ago that I got the Prey demo, the demo of Prey, which came out. I mentioned the backstory of it, you know, released for a decade, blah, blah, blah. Released for a decade? In production for a decade, blah, blah, blah. So you can go back and look, find the episodes in with the new search feature of the redesign when that's out. But I'm just going to do a review and try not to go over too many things that I went over before. So first,
you mean you did a pretty in-depth preview, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, considering it was a demo. So the game is based, the graphics are based on the Doom 3 engine. The actual core of the game is based on the Doom 3 engine. Now, what I didn't mention last time was that I think the particle physics are not that great. You know, the physics in general are really good. Mm. The graphics are really good. The lighting effects are really good. They're brighter than the actual real Doom 3. But the particle physics weren't particularly good. You know, when things blew up, they didn't exactly blow up very well. You know, so that wasn't too great. But other than that, the graphics are very nice. The textures are very nice. You know, the guns look really good. And, you know, the lighting effects,
guns
as I've said.
Really cool.
The guns are really nice.
They're all weird and stuff.
Alien-y
type
guns.
Awesome.
Yeah. Now, the sound, I think, really sets off the game more than many other games that I've played.
Well, you've often said what makes a horror game, what makes a weird game, is the music.
It's the music, yeah. And now, the orchestral music was done by Jeremy Soule. Now, he's the same guy who did the Elder Scrolls 4 soundtrack, which is Oblivion. Mm. And I also think he did some other things, but I can't remember what. Guild Wars, that's the other one. He did the Guild Wars soundtrack.
Yeah.
So he's really coming up. I think he's really doing some really high-profile games. He's going to get noticed by, you know, game developers and stuff to do more orchestral soundtrack.
Yeah, he's probably going to become maybe one of the bigger people in the industry.
Yeah, because, you know, the Elder Scrolls 4 soundtrack, I mean, that was stunning. That was brilliant. You know, but he's...
All the songs on that, all the songs, but all the music
on
it were great.
Really good. But yeah, you can really tell that it's from Jeremy Soule, and I think he's really shown his diversity here by doing some horror-y type, gritty sort of
sound. So he's got like kind of like the grand fantasy of Elder
Lord of the Rings style.
Lord of the Rings, massive, you know, it's epic, you know, and then you've got this really dark and gritty and bloody game like Prey.
Mm. So I think that really, it really does show, and it really, really adds to the game to have this soundtrack. I mean, there were points there, and it's just the soundtrack that is what makes, is what, you know, freaks you out. Not the game. If the game was silent, it wouldn't freak you out. But unfortunately, the sound effects themselves aren't as good quality. You know, I mean, there aren't a lot, but the explosions lack a lot of depth. You know, when things explode, it's very trebly. There's not a lot of bass to the explosions, that sort of thing. But it's still good. It doesn't detract from the game. And, I mean, the voicing, the voice work was really good. I think the person who played the alien voices in that was really good. And also for the storyline, the voicing was really good. There was really good emotion in the story, almost like a film there would be. And the lip syncing was okay. It wasn't great, but it was good enough. You didn't really notice, oh my God, that lip sync is crap. Now, the gameplay, along with the orchestral music, is really also what sets Prey apart from other FPS. Because they've done some really ingenious new stuff. As I've previously mentioned, you know, the gravity puzzles, the stuff that fucks with your mind. And, you know, where
he says on the back of the box.
Yeah, it does. It's like, we'll completely freak you out and stuff. You know, where you're walking on walls and, you know, you're flipping the stuff.
Portals.
I mean, yeah, the puzzles are good, but they're not challenging. There were a few bits where I was like, what the hell? And it was because I hadn't looked up at this little thing that I could shoot on the ceiling to flip the gravity. But other than that, they weren't tough. They weren't hard. You know, some of Half-Life's puzzles make you think a bit. Only a little bit. But they still make you think.
Yeah.
But on Prey, they really didn't make you think. There was, you know, it was almost there for show more than anything else, which was a shame. But
So you think it's maybe more of a superficial game?
Yeah, it was.
Shame.
But it was still good.
Yeah.
But they could have done a lot more. Almost like, because, I mean, obviously, the fact that they've showed all of this with the portals and all that sort of thing, it was clearly good enough for Valve to then bring their portal game out of the woodwork, which has been in development for a long time, but they've suddenly released it just after Prey. Oh, how convenient. Funnily enough, it looks just like Prey. And you can tell that Valve have thought about using portals more. Admittedly, you can use you can fire the portals in that.
Yeah.
But clearly, you know, you can tell the difference there. Prey, superficial, portals, very cool, very new, very ingenious, very well done, and I think they're really good. But Valve are showing, no, this is what you're supposed to do with puzzles. This is what you're meant to do. You're meant to make the person think. Also, the vehicle action sucks in Prey. Yeah, the vehicles really are not any good. There's only a little spaceship-y hovering thing, but the controls are naff, and it's just not that great. The vehicles aren't that great. The storyline also... Now, I didn't mind so much. I'm kind of quoting what other review sites have said. But other review sites have said that the storyline takes too long to come in. there's a storyline, but by the time it actually sort of heats up and gets good, it's too late. You know, you've got bored with the storyline and you're just interested on the action and the horror, which is really good. Now, I was still interested. I still found the storyline really good. Shame I missed some of the ending because at the LAN, everyone was talking to me, so I couldn't quite work out what they were saying in the cutscenes. But I kind of go through them again.
We kind of apologise. We officially apologise to you now.
Good. But I was still interested, and it was still interesting for me, but some people might get bored by then, you know.
Yeah.
People who are just casually looking for a good game. But overall, I think I haven't written this down, but I'd probably give it an 8 out of 10. It wins on the graphics.
Sounds a bit high, but considering you've really been
Mentioned loads of bad points, but it's a really enjoyable game. Mm. It's a really fun game to play. The graphics are good. The sound's good. There's some really good new stuff with the gravity and all this sort of thing. The weapons are really new and thought out. The AI is like an adaptive AI thing. It actually gets harder as you play.
Mm.
So if you're playing and doing really well, it gets harder. But if you're dying a lot, it eases off on you. Really good. I did notice that, but only afterwards when I thought about it. The other thing that I haven't mentioned is when you die, you don't actually die. You can just go straight back to life, which is kind of okay. And I know that normally you just have lives and that game overs, you can just continue on. But it does save for a lot of backtracking, you know, where you've died half, you know, right before a save and you've got to go through the whole thing again.
Yeah.
Which is cool, but it does make the game feel even easier. I haven't actually tried it on hard mode, but you know what I mean.
What level you difficulty?
I was just on normal, yeah. So it is a really good game. I recommend it to anyone who plays FPS and enjoy a good action-based, slightly horror FPS, because it is good. But it does have its pitfalls where it could have improved.
Yeah.
Considering it's been in development for a decade, you know, you would expect something Half-Life 2 almost.
Yeah.
You know, in that sort of thing. They could have done more with the puzzles and the gravity-based stuff. It's still good and really new and really good fun.
Just has problems.
They could have just done a bit more with
it. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
It had room to grow. Anyway, 8 out of 10. Very good game. Go and buy it.
Well, thank you very much, Delada.
No problem.
A good review on Prey. You said you'd do it, and there it is.
And there it is. I keep my promises.
So,
Now, just a quick mention of this, that one of our predictions, one of our good old Life and Hex predictions for the future...
Came very true,
because Will Wright has officially announced that Spore will be coming to... most, if not all, consoles.
Which is cool.
It is.
But we were right. We said that, didn't we?
We did indeed. We said it would come to consoles. And he's also said that on some consoles it would be cut down. So you might only be using one creature or whatever in Spore.
Yeah, they're just going to cut down on the stuff that you can do on it.
Just like they did in The Sims, and they cut down on The Sims for the handhelds and all this sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Another prediction of Life in Hex come true.
We got it very right.
Mm. So go and check out the forum post that I made, just to annoy everyone, at tinyurl.com/Q598D.
It's pathetic.
Yeah.
You tinyurl'd the forum again.
Yeah, it's a long one.
Well,
and there's also a link on there to the actual article, which I probably should have tinyurl'd, but I just
forgot. That would have made more sense.
I just forgot. Okay, I forgot.
I think Spore's going to be a good game.
Spore's going to be revolutionary.
I mean, I'm really looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to, you know, play it and see how it plays, and hopefully it'll keep the attention span.
Yep.
I mean, I'm hoping it's not going to be one of those games where you think, oh, it's quite cool, and then forget about it in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's on consoles, I think it's going to get a lot of fan base, because, I mean, you're going to get a lot of these fanboys, so to think, who are like, oh, I'm so cool, I play PlayStation, like you were saying earlier, for example. I'm cool, I play PlayStation, I'm cool, I play consoles. You know, which is fair enough. If that's what you want to do, fine. You know, play it. We're not having a go at you.
Mm-hmm.
But it means you get a taste of the things that you could be doing on PC.
Mm. I think The Sims gained quite a lot of fan base from, you know, consoles. They weren't really highly rated, but I think they made a lot of sales.
Well, loads of people love The Sims on the consoles.
Exactly. But yeah, I never thought they were any good, but bought them.
I didn't like The Sims on the consoles at all. I much preferred them on the PC. Mm. I mean, I like The Sims on the PC, and it's a good game.
Mm.
So, Spore, I'll be interested to see how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the DS is probably going to be most interesting, what with the touch sensitivity. And are they bringing Spore out on like GameCube and PS2 or on Wii and PS3?
So. I shouldn't think so, because the PS3 and the Wii will have been released by then.
Mm.
He actually personally said that he's going to find it interesting to develop for the Wii, Spore for the Wii.
It'd be interesting. I mean, you could use the wand for it, you know, or Wii remote, whatever you want to call it. You know,
Wiimote.
The Wiimote. little wisp there.
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it works. I mean, what with the motion sensors? I mean, maybe you could have extra functionality that you couldn't have in a PC game.
Yep. So, it looks that's going to be interesting. Obviously, as we said, you know, prediction of ours came true.
Woo!
But it's just a further development in Spore for you to keep you on your toes about it. Do you want to mention the next thing? Because I don't know a lot about it, and I've been talking too long.
Well, I don't actually know massive amounts of it either. I just mentioned, saw it, and I decided to read up on it. If you want to go check it out, what we're talking about, it's tinyurl.com. KQHXU. So go on and check that out if you want to. It's talking about the reshaping, a possible cancellation of E3.
Shock.
I mean, okay. If you don't know what E3 is, then why the friggin' hell is to a podcast?
Yeah, go and find out what E3 is, okay? Wikipedia E3.
It's not hard.
Yeah.
E3 is, you know, so big to the gaming community. It's a needed thing, in my opinion.
I mean, we've said practically, this is the first episode that we haven't said that the gaming scene has been quiet because of E3.
Mm.
You know, it's lasted that long. I mean, when was E3? Like, it's May, isn't it?
E3's in May or June, you know.
Yeah. So it's been like three, nearly four months.
Yeah, exactly.
Since, you know, E3, and we've only just stopped saying that the gaming scene has been quiet since it.
It's finally starting to heat up a bit more.
So what are they planning to do?
Well, the problem is with developers is that not all of them are big.
Mm-hmm.
You get really big production houses.
Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony.
Exactly, right, who do the first party stuff for their own consoles.
Ubisoft
are big. Would you class EA as a developer?
Well, they're a publisher and they have an EA stand, don't they?
Yeah, so they can do it and everything. They can afford it because E3 is known for being really OTT, isn't it?
I mean, expensive.
Everything is super big. It's all big, so it's all expensive, which means that these developers are paying a lot of money for this. Now, these small developers, I mean, for example, you take, I don't know, Valve. Probably weren't even there, were they?
Well, no, but Valve are big, but anyway.
Let's think of another one.
Who did Free Radical, did Time Splitters?
Free Radical, I guess that's the same. Or what about Silicon Knights, who did Metroid Prime?
Yep.
They're not big. Mm. They're a small-based production house.
So they have to live off the back of Nintendo in order to get there, and they can't
pretty
get there
much.
Themselves.
Not far off it, no, because they can't afford it.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're paying as much money as they can on borrowing it from Nintendo or whatever, whoever they're working for, to try and get into E3 to publish their games and show off what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But how can they... They're using all this money just to do this. But the problem developers have decided upon is that E3 doesn't give enough coverage.
Yeah, because it's so big.
Because E3 is so big now. I mean, it's massive, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
E3 is freaking huge. I mean, it goes over how many days?
Four days? Yeah.
You know, 3-4 days worth of constant gaming, you know, basic advertising, isn't it? It's just advertising. They don't stand a chance against these bigger ones who can afford the bigger stands. And it's not worth the money because they're not getting enough coverage. So what developers have decided they want to start doing is pull out of E3 and save all the money they would be spending on getting into E3 for maybe smaller, more localized conventions and events where they can spend their money, less of it, more wisely, and get a bigger, you know, intake of people going, oh, that's your game, that's cool. You know, can I have a go, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, okay, put it this way. E3 is dominated by the three powers. You know, Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony, obviously.
Yep, definitely.
And all the smaller developers, they don't really have much chance to show off because they just don't stand a chance against the bigger ones.
Yep.
So I think it's a good idea what they're on about, and I can see where they're coming from. But at the same time, it could mean the death of E3.
I mean, E3 is a milestone for the year. You know, everyone gets prepared for it. Press get prepared for it. Companies get prepared for it.
The
general public get prepared for it.
Yeah, quite. I mean, all the hotels get prepared for it.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a shame if it does get cancelled.
It's going to have a knock-on effect if they do. Because press, if they do split it up and, like, do little things in lots of places, press companies are going to have to start going to more places. So that's going to have a knock-on effect on the press that they're going to have to spend more, which has a knock-on effect on little press people who can't afford to go to lots of different places.
I think we've just found a loop.
Yes. And so you ended up just, you know, You change one thing, it affects something over here. It's the way of the world.
Yeah.
And so changing E3 and splitting it up into little things is going to have an effect somewhere else.
So, I mean, it'd be a shame and it might have some negative effects. But in the short term, it'll have positive effects for these developers. Mm-hmm. But in the long term, it might not be the best of ideas. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, go and check that out. As you said, tinyurl.com/KQHXU. And that's the ongoing coverage from Four Color Rebellion. That's the latest article that they've got about it at the moment.
I think they've done two or three about it. And they're just keeping people up to date about what's going on with it. Yep. So hopefully it won't be the death.
Hopefully not.
You never know.
Okay, we've got some music now.
Time for some music, I think.
Before we go on to our anime and tech.
What we got this time? It's Roadside Zoo.
Yes, Roadside Zoo.
With Every Other Day Love.
Every Other Day Love. This is obviously, once again, thank you to music.podshow.com, although we're kind of getting sick of listening to crap music when we're trying to find something good.
I know, we have to go through like 10 songs before we find something good because all the singers can't sing.
But go and check out Roadside Zoo's website at www.roadsidezoomusic.com.
Do you not think we should have tiny rolled that?
No, that's fine. But it's easy to say, isn't it?
I was joking.
Oh, good. Okay.
I was being sarcastic. The fact that you tiny rolled everything.
Yeah, all right. I'm sorry. Go and check this out. It's a really good song. We like it.
Yeah, I mean, I was into it. I was like, yeah, it's cool. It's cool. You know.
So
it's all good.
We'll come back with some anime and some tech.
Aye. Bye.
Bye.
I'm at a door, wait patiently on a front porch. Two tickets, two seats to the best show in town. When she comes to answer me with the kick of her heels and a kiss on her cheek, you'll never find a finer girl around. Fast forward to the end of the show, I turn my head, expect to see her glow. But something's wrong, I ask what's on her mind. She just frowns and looks at me, turns her head and starts to leave. Why is it that a smile's so hard to find? She keeps giving me every other day love. She keeps giving me every other day love. Kind of girl that tomorrow I'm afraid of. She keeps giving me every other day love. She's been right, she's been wrong. Every night in the morning when she wakes, she just can't get enough. She keeps giving me every other day love. I'm on my way, cause we both have a beautiful day. I just hope nothing gets turned around. Sure enough, as the hours fade, so does the love and she starts to hate. That's when the words turn to shouts. I don't know much, but it seems to me you gotta let love live with you constantly. If it's real, you better not let it come and go. Head to bed and I start to dream. Wonder if tomorrow's gonna be the same thing. Will she love me back? Lord, who knows? She keeps giving me every other day love. She keeps giving me every other day love. The kind of girl that tomorrow I'm afraid of. She keeps giving me every other day love. She's been right, she's been wrong. Every night in the morning when she wakes, she just can't get enough. She keeps giving me every other day love. Every other day keeps going by. Every other day, how much longer can I try? Every other day, just the one thing that I fear is every other day turns into every other year. Oh,
Okay, welcome back. We hope you enjoyed...
Notice how you always say the welcome back of the music.
Okay.
No, I'm not dissing it.
No. Thank you very much, Roadside Zoo, with every other day, love. Welcome back to Life in Hex, episode 19.
Well, technically they never left.
Well, no, but there was the music.
But that's still in the episode.
Well, I don't care. Okay, we're rolling on now with the anime and then the tech. And then we're done.
Yes.
And we're off to do some gaming.
Yes. And watch some more Hack 5.
Yes.
Okay, so anime. So this was a quest. So this is one of the quests. And I told you people, if you want me to do a request, I will try my best to do it. So yeah, I did get a request, and it was on the forums. And it was from the Shamus.
Mm-hmm.
So, or Taizusai, either of his names, whichever one's to be called.
One on them.
Pick. And I think at first he wanted me to do his Elfen Lied.
Mm-hmm.
Review, even though Prawn already did one.
Yeah, which kind of pissed Pern off.
I think you put that pissed him off a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Prawn's
review is awesome.
It is. No, I did read it. It was a good review.
Was it a good review?
It was a good review. It was very in-depth. I mean, if you read my reply
I'm
on
afraid
the old
it's
forum.
On the old forum, but I will move it to the new forum.
Yeah, do so. Put it next to, like, the Shamus or something to get two people's opinions. But he also requested... he did a little review on himself, but it wasn't actually an in-depth review. It's more of a...
overview.
Biopsis of what it was about, or synopsis or whatever.
Yep.
And it's about Initial D. Initial D First Stage, to be precise, because there's quite a lot of series in Initial
D. So that's the first series.
Yes, the first series in the Initial D series.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Initial D is about... Well, it's a manga and anime series that's based on street drift racing.
Right.
And you'd think, well, that sounds a bit dull. You know, how can you have a manga with still images about racing?
Yeah.
It works, though. It really does work. Right. And the anime obviously makes it so much easier because, you know, you see the cars moving.
Yeah.
But it's all about, you know, drifting and going down, like, mountainside roads and everything really fast while drifting around all the corners. And it's really good and it really works. So I just thought he requested it. And I've seen it and I've read some of it and I like it. So I thought to review it.
Mm-hmm.
The original manga series was conceived by Suichi Shigeno.
Mm-hmm.
And it was made... the anime was made about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think manga's a bit older because it usually, obviously, the manga always comes first, generally.
Yep.
So it's not the newest of series, but it's not too old either. So it's, you know, standard anime kind of age.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing which really sets it apart is it's really different plots. I mean,
right. The
majority of anime, you've got a clear cut plot line, haven't you? But in Initial D, there's not so much story. It's kind of just following on what's just happened. Mm-hmm. There's no end goal, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It's about this 18-year-old guy called Takumi Fujiwara, who delivers tofu for his dad's company or his dad's business. And he gets up every morning really early when there's no cars on the road and delivers tofu to all the lakeside hotels on the mountain.
Right.
Thing is, because of this, because he's been driving since he was 13.
Yep.
Right. So before he could even be allowed to drive, he's driving since he's 13. He's been driving on Mount Akina, which is what it's all based around, for like 5 years. And without even realizing, he becomes a seriously pro racer.
Yeah.
Right, without even realizing. Because every morning he's having to race, well, not even to race, but he's having to drive around these really twisty mountain roads with a paper cup in the holder, in the cup holder, right, filled to the brim, and he's not allowed to spill a single drop.
Right.
So he's got to drive along these twisty roads without spilling anything. So he's had to develop his skills to make it out so it's possible.
Mm.
And so it leads on from there when he joins, well, he inadvertently joins the local... drift racing team.
Yeah.
It's like street drift racing. It's not like professional stuff.
Yeah,
it's
I know what you mean.
Amateur.
Yeah.
And he starts racing against all these other amateur racers on all these mountain passes. So that's Jim Reports on me, really.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a bit of a spacey person.
Right.
You know, he's like, he drifts off into his own world sometimes. You wouldn't really think of him as this pro-drift racer.
Right.
So it's quite funny because he's just like so out of it sometimes, even though he's like this uber-pro racer. So yeah, that's the basic plot of it. There's not much to it. I mean, like I say, it's just following him and all these races that he does with his team. And
right.
It's just all about the different races and what's different about each race. For example, the first race is his first race.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the kind of like special thing about that one. The second race is the fact that he's...
It's his second race.
No, the second race is the fact that he's driving against a much more powerful car.
Ah.
And he's got to use his skill and technique to get around quicker.
Without spilling any tofu.
No, he's not got tofu in the back this time.
Right, okay.
Right, so he's got to try and get around the course and try and beat this car, which is like three times as fast as him.
Right.
Yeah, so... And so he's all these different like special conditions that he races under, and it makes the kind of races exciting and everything. All
right, cool.
What's going to happen. So yeah, I mean that's just the basic what's going on with it. The other characters in it, they're a bit more. They're not really important. They don't really do much of the story.
Right.
The main character Takumi is the main character, really. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
All the others are really just support characters. He's got his best friend Itsuki,
mm-hmm.
and he's got his dad Bonta, and he's like one of his. One of his colleagues who's older than him, called Ikitani, and his boss and everything like that, and his girlfriend. And so they're all support characters, don't really do a lot.
Right.
But they're good characters and they work well with him. And they kind of make the series more enjoyable to watch.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Now, the one thing that I think makes Initial D really stand out as an anime, maybe in a good way, maybe in a bad way, is its art style. Now, if anyone's seen the manga version of it, it's just like the manga and the anime are just the same, really, in terms of their artwork. And it's very unconventional anime. I mean, I'll show you a picture later if you want, just to show you what I'm on about.
Yep.
But the artwork is so different. It's most, I mean, for example, Pacamac doesn't actually want to watch it because he thinks the artwork's totally wrong.
All right.
He really doesn't like the look of it
because
it looks really weird. But some people like it. I mean, I quite like it. It's quite cool. It's quite a cool design.
Original. Different.
Very original. It's just so different. But thing is, what does it matter when the majority of the stuff is in cars? With cars racing around a racetrack.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah.
The kind of like the character design is not really important.
Too much.
In sound quality, the sound is really nice. He's got some really nice Eurobeat music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've downloaded most of it off of Gendu. I think I mentioned... Have I mentioned Gendu before?
Yeah.
Because it's a good site.
Yeah.
And he's got some really good music, which is really the Japanese version. The English version is all rap music.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, fun.
Woohoo.
So the Japanese music's really good and it's really nice to listen to, and it really suits the racing. And the voices really suit as well in terms of the Japanese. So sounds pretty good. Overall animation quality itself is good and it's consistent. One problem I do have with the actual animation quality, though, is that in the first stage... the first series of the series of the Initial D, you know, storyline, it uses really blocky crap CG for the races.
All right.
I mean, it's not animated, but it's not drawn. It's all CG. But if you look at CG, it looks crap.
Yeah,
it's all really blocky and horrible. It gets better. Second stage looks much better. Third stage seems to almost do away with CG completely, and fourth stage makes it CG cel shaded.
Right.
So think Wind Waker.
Yeah.
So it's really weird how they do it. But first stage looks crap in terms of the races. They don't look nice at all. It gets better throughout the series, but which is a real down point, actually, about it. Because it really spoils it, because that's obviously the main point of it.
Yeah.
And without a solid storyline behind it, you're left with not a lot other than just these nice races and some of the funny moments left with it.
Yeah.
Which is why my final score is only a 6.5. Maybe a 7, if you like racing. Because... It's a good series, and it's really enjoyable to watch, and I like it, but it really does lack in some areas. I mean, you know, it could be so much better if it had been put more effort into it, I think. But, yeah, 6.5.
All right, cool.
7 if you're into racing.
If you're into racing.
So, cool. There you go, Initial D.
Well, thank you very much, Sephron, for your review of Initial D.
Yes.
And you've got no news or anything this episode.
No, I just thought I'd give a nice short anime.
Okie dokie. Now, the text section looks really long, but that's because it's got two emails in it.
That's because the emails are really long.
That is the show, basically. Now, we got an email, as I mentioned, from Skippy, who is a member of the forum and chats about on the forum. And he sent me an email saying, hey guys, this is Skippy, and I wanted to ask you a question without putting it out on the board so as not to get into any real trouble. We've discussed this with him. There's no problem with me reading out the thing. It was just in case, because he wasn't actually 100% sure about the situation. He says, my brother has installed a wireless router in his home, and he is not planning on encrypting his information or locking it in any way. I keep telling him that he should, or anyone can start messing with his sheet. I think that was a spelling mistake. Would you be able to direct me to a program or a set of programs that I might use to show him how information is able to be taken? And he says that he's looked into Kismet, but he hasn't done any reading on it. And so my response was this. Hi, Skippy. Kismet is more for auditing an area. So, for example, you know, an office block or something like that. And it won't actually pick up any specific data unless you make it. There is a certain way to sort of make it log data, but it's going to be pretty tricky to get that out of it. The solution would be to actually connect to it, because if it's connect to the wireless network, because if it's an unencrypted network, then you can just connect to it. There's no problem.
Like
with
a
that.
Laptop, or
yeah, something. From a laptop, and try and access any file shares on his computer if he's got a Windows box. That would be the simplest way of kind of demonstrating to him that anyone can look at his stuff, because he might like share something extra for another computer on the network, even if he doesn't share everything now. This was actually demonstrated on a program called Inside Out, which is on Anglia TV, well, BBC Anglia, in the UK once, which they had to try and demonstrate sort of insecure wireless networks. They did it simply by connecting to the file shares. It's not really the most advanced way of doing it, but it's good enough if someone's actually shared crucial data accidentally. If that isn't a solution, then you could try and look at performing a man-in-the-middle attack, or an MITM. A script kiddie way to do this would be to use Kane and Abel on Windows, and the website for that is www.oxid.it. That's OXID.IT. Then you could ask him to go on like Instant Messenger, maybe, or check a POP3 email account, something like that, and you'd be able to pick up his messages or his email passwords, because POP3 is unencrypted. And although Instant Messenger passwords are encrypted, the actual messages aren't. You could also pick up HTTP traffic, all that sort of thing, anything that he broadcasts over the network. And I recommended to him that he watches the episodes of Hackpoint 5, which is www.hack5.org, where they did a man-in-the-middle attack using Cain and Abel in a coffee shop, and they picked up some guy's IMAP emails and stuff. That's on the best of season one, actually.
Might have a look at that.
Yep.
I'm sure also, other people might not, BinRev have most likely done something.
BinRev have most likely done something.
Well. Shows. I mean, sure, there's something there. I mean, no, I remember listening to a show about
talking Web
about wireless,
stuff, yep.
wireless networking security and wireless. I mean, hell, they did that whole thing on Hack TV, not Hack TV. Hack TV.
Yeah, they did. They did a thing on there as well about decrypting, and you know, The Broken also did it. System also did it, no doubt.
There's a lot about a lot of IPTV stuff.
When WEP was first cracked, everyone did a segment on WEP. We're not going to do it purely because the fact everyone else has done it.
It's not so hard.
We
wouldn't actually
do
something. Either.
It's not a hard thing to do. So that, you know, would be a way to do that. I'm not sure what episode of Hack 5 it is, but have a look through their episode archives, and watching someone do it on video is probably like the easiest way to learn how to do it.
Yeah, sit your brother down and say, look, this is what could happen.
Or even do a man in the middle attack on him. To be honest, WEP encryption, which you said about, you know, encrypting using that, it's not uncrackable. You know, as we just said, you know, you can crack it really easily. It's a good deterrent to stop people just like
for the majority of people, it'll be enough. But if you got a hacker, you know, maybe like yourself or myself or you know, someone in the community who wants to get on it, it's not going to stop them.
No. So, and to be honest, it's so easy to use WEP encryption. You know, everything supports it. You should just ask him the question, why the hell not? Why the hell not put encryption on? I don't understand why his brother doesn't want to use encryption. It's just, you know,
there's
even
no reason
WEP
why not
is better
to.
Than nothing. Yeah. And it doesn't take more than a minute to just go, done.
Turn WEP on, done.
So that was my response. We also talked a bit about Ethereal and that sort of thing, which has now become Wireshark. And again, you know, everyone's been over doing stuff, doing crazy shit to wireless networks. So go and have a look around, IPTV shows, you know, hacking wikis and all this
like
sort
we said
of thing.
The independent media stuff,
yeah,
so
that sort of thing. I hope that helps you, Skippy. I can't remember whether he actually said it was successful or anything, but thank you very much for emailing that. Do you want to mention this next bit, or shall I mention it?
Well, you did it. All right, okay. You always do.
One quick little thing before I get onto my little techie review is that on episode 17, we talked about the state of Linux gaming, my little Linux gaming project with Wine, Sedega.
Yeah, you were trying to get like CS Source to run and other things like that.
And we basically said it's not ready for it, essentially, and that Sedega wasn't
really
up to what it,
do it
said it was. There was an article on Linux.com which it confirms exactly what we said, basically. They just backed up what I said.
So guess what? Life in Hex got there first again.
Yes.
We're awesome.
So go and check out tinyurl.com/HPUV4. Very cool that we, you know, the article sort of confirms what we say. If you're looking, you know, a bit more in-depth about the stuff that we talked about, there's a good place to start.
It just basically, like you said, it's saying Linux, gaming, no, not really.
No, not yet. Not apart from games that are already on Linux.
UG2004.
Yeah, but even then, you have to turn all your settings down.
Yes.
Lastly, before we wrap up the show, I just got a quick review.
This is probably one of the first hardware reviews we've done.
Probably, which is quite good.
Because we've done a few software reviews. Mm. We've done, like, you know, we did, like,
Office.
Vista on Office and stuff like that. But this is probably the first hardware review.
Maybe. I've got a review of the Sound Blaster XFI Platinum. Now, this will kind of apply to all of the XFI series, so the XFI Extreme Music, the Platinum, the Fatality, and the Elite Pro. Now, I just sort of go through, I kind of made up how I would go through this, but I just sort of try and go through it and try and be as informative as possible.
Hey, why not?
It comes with a 5.25-inch slot front panel. Now, I found this pretty hard to install. There are a couple of cables that come off this thing, and one of them is almost like an IDE-like cable.
Yeah.
And to be honest, to slot that, because you have to like insert this in the front, it was kind of hard to shuffle that in and push that in and that sort of thing. And also, you know, using up a 5.25-inch slot, I've lost my little LCD thing. And
which is a shame, because that was cool.
Yeah, and I'm not sure whether I'll ever use this front panel audio thing. And it looks really cool, because you're like, hey, you know, I've got an XFI.
You have to install it.
And that's what I'm thinking. That's why there's no instructions about saying this is optional or not. Because if you don't install it, you lose out on the remote. But I've got a front door anyway, so I have to have the door open to use the remote. And my computer's on the floor, but I'm not sure whether it will crash with the fact that it hasn't got a front panel.
I don't know.
And I would really appreciate it if, like, Creative actually, you know, had any instructions. The front panel is optional, but we recommend you use
it. Or the front panel is needed.
Yeah, exactly. So that kind of sucks, because I would probably use my LCD panel instead. As much as the XFI is like a status symbol, having that there is quite cool. It's you know, it's a shame you lose a 5.25-inch slot. But you could buy the Elite Pro for £250 and get the actual knockout box, you know, the big box thing. Yeah, which you won't do. The reason that's more expensive is purely because it has a better analog to digital decoder for recording, for doing what we're doing now. Now the hardware. On the hardware side of it, the actual board is like the best sound card money can buy, essentially. Yeah. There's no competition. To be honest, the Sound Blaster XFI series is the best you can get at the moment. Sound Blaster have always been the creme de la creme of sound cards.
Yes. If you're a gamer and you're going for, you want to get yourself a nice new sound card.
If you just want good sound, you should go for the Sound Blaster.
Yeah, anything.
It's always the been the
maybe
way.
Not the XFI Platinum.
Go for maybe the Audiges. Go back a generation.
Yeah, and not spend as much money.
Even the Extreme Music, to be honest, is a good card. If you don't care about missing out on the front panel, all the features are the same. All the inner gibbards are the same. You know, the hardware and stuff. The difference between the Platinum and the Fatality is the 64 megabytes of XRAM on the Fatality. Mm. Now, at the time, everyone said, buy this. It's only like 20, 30 quid extra. Buy it. Games are going to use it. It's going to be awesome. Sound quality is going to go through the roof. Everything is going to be brilliant.
Yeah.
Battlefield 2's used it.
That's it.
So the XFI Fatality. Yeah. Only Battlefield 2 has used the XRAM so far. So to be honest, there's not really a point. I mean, it is only 20 quid. I could have got it. But
You were saying I should have got it because I could have got it sooner.
Yeah, because it was taking so bloody long to come. But, you know, it is a gimmick now. At the time, people said it was really good, but now everyone's saying it's a gimmick.
All Fatality stuff's a gimmick, in my opinion.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Good point. Anyway, beside the point, the Platinum is kind of the best of both worlds. You've got the hardware, but you've also got the front panel bit with the remote. And it will cost you around 130 quid if you go for somewhere fairly good. You know, it cost me 123, so around that sort of price. Now, the software that comes with it is the typical creative bloated stuff. You know, they always bundle with just tons of software. In fact, one bit of it doesn't work. The volume panel, which I was most looking forward to, because apparently the volume panel is quite good, doesn't work.
Why doesn't it work?
It's giving a problem with the DLL. I probably need to reinstall it or something. Mm. But there are some useful tools. The recording program is quite good. You know, you have to use them to try them out. You have to see what they're like. But the switching program is good to switch from entertainment mode to audio creation mode and to game mode. Mm. The most useful thing about that is I have 2.1 speakers, but 5.1 headphones. When I play a game, I use the headphones. When I'm listening to music, I use the speakers. Normally, I would have to go start, control panel, sound and audio devices, speakers, 5.1. With the sound switching program, I've set up a hotkey to Windows key S using a program that I don't know. I just need to click the game button, and it switches to 5.1, it turns on all of the extra EAX, CMSS, and all that sort of thing with like the touch of a button, and I'm done. I press it again when I come out of the game, back into entertainment mode.
It's so much quicker.
That is really nice, especially if you put it on a hotkey. Makes so much difference.
Yeah.
So that's really good. Now, I didn't take any benchmarks before getting the XFI because my sound card broke, so I didn't particularly want to take any benchmarks or anything. But apparently it does give you an FPS boost from on board. Now, the 5.1 implementation is good. I've always said that 5.1, or surround sound in general, implementation differs from card to card. Mm. My onboard, I really liked the surround sound implementation because it wasn't just one speaker. It was sort of mixed around speakers. Unfortunately, the XFI are just one speaker as you're going around, but it's so distinct. I mean, the pinpointing on CS, I almost look like I'm wall hacking because I can just go... as they're following, as someone's walking, you know, on the other side of a wall. So it's really good, and it beats on board, and I can pretty reliably say that you will get some extra FPS if you get one of these. And the sound quality is nice. I mean, my onboard was pretty good. It was a riser card. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the sound quality is nice.
A proper sound card is always going to be better.
Yeah. So overall, 9 out of 10, simply because Creative Sound Blasters are just such a monopoly, and there's no better sound card on the market.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wouldn't give it... The only reason I don't give it a 10 out of 10 is because it's expensive and it's got some unnecessary features.
Yeah, which some people might not like.
Mm. Other than that, you just can't get a better sound card. Mm. So, you know, it's really good. So I recommend it to people. If you don't want to get the Platinum, get the Music. It's worth it just for the fact that you've got a proper sound card. You know, you haven't got on board anymore.
Yeah.
You've got something separate. It's worth it. Just any computer where you listen to games, you should get yourself a... You should listen to games. Any computer where you listen to music heavily and maybe play a bit of games, whack an XFI Extreme Music in it. It's only 60, 70 quid or whatever. It's quite a lot, but still, you know, it's worth
it. In the long run.
I'd say it's worth it. Okay, that wraps up the show.
That's pretty much the end of the show.
You've been very quiet for most of the show, haven't you?
I have, realised. I've not said much this show. I don't know. It's not really been my show.
Yep. Well, you've just been playing RO too much, you know. That's the problem.
I have, actually. Off topic.
Okay, we've got some plugs and shouts. I've got some plugs and shouts.
I've got fuck all.
You've got a plug at the end.
Oh, yeah. This is just random, though.
Well, you could do the glam plug. I'd like to plug hack5.org, which have just started season 2. In fact, I'm going to go now and watch it while you do the rest of the plug.
No, you're not. Sit your ass down, boy.
Oh, damn. They've just started season 2. Season 2, episode 1 was released today on recording day. That's a couple of days ago.
You were going to stay up last night, weren't you? Was it last night?
Yeah, I would have done, but I was bloody knackered.
Yeah, from staying at Tzartas.
Yep, which comes up on the next one. Huge shout. Thank you so much, Tzarta, for letting me over. And shout to Kaz for putting up with me as well.
That's his girlfriend.
That's his girlfriend, yep. Who was gaming with us, very surprisingly. yeah, it was really great. Hopefully going to go over there sometime at the end of summer to have some more gaming and
take
stuff.
Take some more pictures, please.
Yeah, I will do. I'll take a camera, and then I can take a proper picture of the computer area and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also,
We did plug them on the site, and I think we plugged them on the forum as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we plugged you plugged it on the on your blog, yep. Dusty Dreams.
I did indeed.
But then again, no one really reads Dusty Dreams anymore because they just check out Life and Hex.
Well, people who listen to Life and Hex don't look at my blog. So.
Yeah, generally.
Yep.
So we just want to say another big shout to everyone who came to the LAN, including ourselves. You know, shouts to you,
man. Shouts to you. Brother. You know.
It was a really good laugh.
And they don't have to come.
They have to come, but they enjoy it, and they want to come, and want to make it a good experience for everyone.
So thank you very much to Dazarus, Mixwizard, Pro, and you, and me.
Yes, and also big separate shouts, you know, mm-hmm. that are, because this is even more important in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Separate shouts to your mum.
Yeah, thank you, mum.
Because of her,
yep.
we were able to host the LAN.
Yep.
Because she hosted the LAN for us.
She put up with our swearing and cursing and
we were swearing.
Farting.
Mix was swearing like a trooper.
Oh my God, he does that all the time.
You mean, you heard me every so often. I was like, yeah. Mix,
shut up.
Don't stop swearing. But it was a very fun LAN. Mm-hmm. And you haven't checked them out already, go and check out the pictures.
Yep, lifeandhex.com/LAN3.
It's just a slideshow. It's just one of the standard mm-hmm. slideshow pictures, so go and check them all out.
Yeah, get to see pictures of us.
You get to see, finally get pictures of...
you're going
to
fall off.
I'm going to fall off this chair. Get to see finally pictures of me falling off a chair.
Yep.
And then we also get to see pictures of killing sheep.
Yep, boomhead sheep.
Boomhead sheep. And you get to see pictures of me and Gelada.
Indeed. And everyone else.
And Azarus, Ampro, and Mix. Mix looking like he's about ready to kill someone.
Yes. And, or fall asleep, not quite sure which.
And hugging his fan.
Yes.
My fan, bitch. Quite a good picture. Anyway, that's beside the point.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, plugs to them, because plugs to your mom, plugs to...
everyone else.
Plugs to Life in Hex itself.
True.
Yes, plugs to it all.
Mm-hmm.
And final little shouty, pluggy thing. Go and check out spikesite.co.uk.
Yep.
That's www.spikesite.co.uk.
Because it is the home of the company that makes Spike's Dinner, which
is crunchy and munchy
and a chicken-based food for hedgehogs of all ages, made only with the finest natural ingredients.
In extensive feeding trials in a hedgehog's hospitals, it continues to prove a healthy hit with our little garden visitors.
It's highly digestible and nutritious, and its crunchability maintains healthy teeth and gums.
For all hedgehogs and hoglets.
Indeed. They have hedgehog hospitals.
So.
I'm Gelada.
I'm Sephron.
And this has been Life in Hex episode 19. There is a hair in Sephron's. Oh, nice. Free hair.
Hair in my beer.
Free hair with every beer. Mm.
Extra crunchiness.
That's good.
Close the show notes.
No one closed the show notes.
The original series was original. The original series was originally.
Yep. Is this Ichigo 100%?
I think we're doing it might be. I think we might have got there. I think we might have a record breaker here. The original manga series was made. We just spent 2 minutes thinking of the word. Okay, so see, bro.
Yeah.
It's because I'm thinking of Ichigo now. It's like a curse.
Ichigo curse.
Whoa. Oh, yes. And his third race is special because...
it's his third race.
Fuck off! This is really an Ichigo review. We have some... we did it on the shite. The
on
shite.
The shite. Nice!
Oh, Jesus. I'll take it a bloody year.
That was good. That was some good shite.
I think I'm drunk.